Well, good morning, everyone. Let's open with a word of prayer this morning. Father, what an honor to be able to come to you once again and just thank you for this family here to be able to meet and to be able to pray and to be able to worship you and to thank you and to praise you. Thank you that the veil has been rent, that the access has been gained by your flesh, Lord. The price has been paid by your blood. Our sins have been washed away, forgiven, and the wrath has been paid, and you look at us as if we'd never sinned, which is so unbelievable. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. And this morning, Lord, as we look at the end, the very end of the Scriptures, Lord, there's one closing prayer there, and may we just honor you with it and lead us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we are going to be in Revelation 22, and as you know, there's no chapter after that, and we're going to be in the last two verses, and there's no verses after that. So, we're going to talk about Jesus' second coming, of course. That's what it's all about. The book of Revelation is all about getting ready and about his sure return. So I thought we would sing a hymn this morning, and it is in our hymnal. So if you want to follow along with the notes, if that helps you to sing, it's 132. And 132, Jesus shall reign where the sun does his successive journeys run. And I believe the words with the accompaniment here are verses 1, 2, and 4. And so the words are also on your notes if you would rather look at that. Let us join together with Jesus shall reign where'er the sun. Well, as we come to the end of the Bible, the end of the 66th book, we end on a beautiful close. Now, we began, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and that was all good. But at the end of the Old Covenant, at the end of the Old Testament, we don't have really that exciting an ending in a sense because, as you well know, in the last verse of Malachi says, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse, I like the end of the New Covenant better. Now, as we see the end of the scriptures here, just beginning reading in Revelation 22:12, we see the whole summary of the theme, really, of the Bible and of the book of Revelation, of course, is to be ready. Get ready. Jesus is coming back. And in verse 12 we read, "And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of the prophecy, of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book." And then the last two verses where we're focusing on a bit this morning. Verse 20 reads, "He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." So we see Jesus commenting about his coming quickly a number of times, and that word quickly can be interpreted different ways, and I think it's purposely open to interpretation because I think the Lord has always wanted the church to be ready. The word quickly can be translated very soon or shortly, but it also can be translated when it does come at an unknown time, it's going to happen fast. And I believe that's primarily the definition for us at this time because it's been 2,000 years since Jesus wrote that, right? So it was a very short time, and the apostles all thought he was coming, right? They thought he was coming right then. In fact, yes. Eve even thought he was coming right away when her first son was born because of the messianic prophecy way back in Genesis 3:15. But he hasn't come yet, and so then people like to use the term, the Lord's tarrying. I don't like to use that term because that connotes to me that the Lord is not sure about when. The Lord knows exactly when he's coming. But 1 Peter tells us, and 2 Peter tells us, that he does not want any to perish, but all to come to repentance. And so he is giving time. He is giving time. He is giving time for the fullness of Gentiles to come in. And when that last Gentile has come in, then the church is out of here. And then we start out, I believe, into a great, great, great evangelistic period with 144,000 evangelists spreading the gospel. And we even have an angel of the Lord spreading the gospel to every tribe and tongue and nation. So the scripture that we often hear in Matthew about when all of these things happen, when the gospel gets to everybody, then the end shall come. And that means the church has to get out there and reach every tribe and tongue. I believe we have a part of that. The church has a part of that. But it's not relying on the church or it'll never happen, right? Look how little of the gospel really is reaching the people today. And here we are 2,000 years with the church with all kinds of facilities to reach out to everybody. But the Holy Spirit will do that, will he not? So we're to stand and we're to be in accordance with the book of Revelation here to watch and be ready and be so excited about what's happening and what will happen and what he's done in our life that we can't wait to tell everybody we see about it, right? because it's so important that they hear. And whether they're saved or not, that's only up to the Lord. Some are called, some aren't. We don't know who's called and who's not. But we're to show the love of Christ. And the reason you're still here this morning is because that's your challenge. If that weren't your challenge, you'd already be with Him in heaven. So the day that your ministry is over, you're out of here. It doesn't really matter what condition your body's in. Moses was taken home when he had perfect eyesight and 120. He had the strength. I was just over in Mount Nebo last October. And for anyone, I couldn't walk up that hill. My, oh, my, oh, my. From the floor of the River Jordan of the Dead Sea to Nebo is over 3,000 feet, maybe 4,000 feet. At 120, how many of us could walk up behind? I can't walk up it now. But Moses had strength, he had vitality, but his ministry was done and God took him, right? And so not to make too big a deal out of all of that, but I do think that he's got something for us to do, and that's to watch and be ready, right? And he said, I'm coming quickly. So when he comes, that's not going to be the time we can have a big outreach or something and give people 2 weeks to get ready. It's over. And so whoever you see, keep that in the back of your mind. If they don't know the Lord, they're on the edge of separation from the Lord forever by their own choice. And Romans tells us that no one is without excuse, that everyone can see the Creator through creation. And we see so many coming to the Lord today, so many Muslims coming to the Lord in the Middle East who've never heard the name of Jesus. They've never been witnessed to, and yet God saves them. So that tells me God doesn't need me to do anything. But if He uses me, then it gives Him glory because people say, well, it can't be because of that guy. It's supernatural. And so that's why the church is here, to use what? The weak and the base and the foolish to confound the wise. So that's where we are. So the prayer then is surely, Jesus says, surely, without a doubt, I am coming quickly. When the Son of God, the Creator of all things, says, I'm coming quickly, is He coming quickly or not? You can bank on that. He's coming back. He's coming back. And He's coming back to rule and to reign. And before He comes back with us, there will be a great tribulation on the earth. And sin and evil will be put away. And all things will be made right. And He will come back with a breath and He will put away all the wickedness of the world. And then our response is, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. And then His closing benediction, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Grace. Is your concept of grace growing? Are you more aware of what the gift of grace is now than when you first came to the Lord? I'm sure you are. And as we continue to see our wretchedness, our sinful nature, our nothingness, as we continue to see His perfection and His beauty, we just keep seeing the difference between where we were and where He has us now in His Son, right? And that's all by grace. It's all by grace. It's all by grace. Nothing to do with us. It's by His unmerited gift to us, right? And that's what we need. That's the message we need to get out to the people. We don't need to grab them by the neck and say, you sinner, you're going to hell. Maybe we do. Some of them we'd probably do need to do that, because Jude says, pulling them by the fire. But what they really need to know is that the Lord loves them in spite of the fact that they're sinners. And we all know we're sinners, even if we don't want to admit it. And before the Lord, we're so filled of pride and so filled of self that don't you dare tell me I'm a sinner, because I'm a perfect guy. I may not be perfect, but I'm almost perfect, right? I'm so much better than all the rest of the world. But you're still a sinner. Everybody born of Adam is a sinner. And so we need to get that word out, right? And we can do it this morning in such a beautiful way by praying. Because prayer is the greatest weapon that we have against the evil one. And those of you who have people in your life right now who are maybe giving you all kinds of problems and one thing and another, and you recognize that really the only solution we have to really fight against those things is prayer. Yeah, we can try to reason with people and all, but that's from the outside. We need it coming from the inside, and that's through the Spirit, right? So let's pray in one accord, and after we pray for a few minutes in a group, and pray loudly if you can, not that the Lord is deaf. He knows, even if you don't make any noise, what you're praying, what your heart is, but the rest of us can agree. The rest of us can agree. Keep your prayers short so we can all pray, and then when we get maybe in 20 minutes or 30 minutes or so, then we'll break into groups of two so everybody can pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the whole counsel of God. We thank you that it ends with such a positive note of looking forward to your second coming, of which you will establish your rule and your reign on this earth forevermore, on this world forevermore. And Lord, we can hardly wait for that day. And yet, Lord, every day that we have until you take us out of here is a day to maybe have some influence on an unsaved person. And there's nothing more important than that. You said, what profit if a man gains a whole universe and loses his soul? And to me, that verse indicates that one life is as important to you as the whole universe. And so, Lord, it is so, the stakes are so high regarding lost people. And I can't even envision being eternally separated from you. So, Lord, help us now as we pray. May we pray for the lost. May we pray for the church. May we pray as you would lead us to pray. May we pray for this nation. May we pray for the rulers and kings of the world, and that they would have the fear of you in their eyes. And as you would lead us, by your Spirit, lead us now in Jesus' name. Amen.